Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be talking about the rich man and Lazarus, a great story from the book of Luke, chapter 16. And again, as I spoke before, this is a story that gives us a picture into the redemption of the Old Testament saints, how the Old Testament saints came to a place of salvation, and it gives us an idea of the redemptive power of the blood of Jesus, how his blood can go backwards and forwards, and he is not bound by time. Our Father God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are not bound by time, and so through the blood of Jesus, the Old Testament saints could receive salvation. And we'll explain that here as we go, as we read the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Well, verse 19, chapter 16, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. Well, let me just stop there for a minute and help set the scene of what the writer here, Luke, is trying to say. And he was describing a scene where there was a very, very poor man. His name was Lazarus, full of sores. He was begging at the rich man's gate, laid at the rich man's gate, and all he wanted was the crumbs that were falling from the table of the rich man. Well, beloved, the Bible says that we will always have the poor with us, and you know we have poor people here in America, in the slums, in different places here in America, even homeless people sleeping on the street, in the camps, in cities all across America. But when you see really poor people, like I've seen, maybe some of you have seen, in Africa and in countries in Central America and Mexico, but primarily in Africa, I have been in some of the poorest countries in the world that are actually listed in the UN, United Nations wage for the people, $800, $900, $1,000 a year, Burundi and places in the Congo and in Uganda, Rwanda. There's some people there that are very, very poor, live in mud huts. They don't make hardly any money in a year. They just live off subsistence agriculture, the things that come from their garden. And so they're very, very poor. And so when they get sick or when they have calamity or catastrophe in their life, it is very difficult for them to recover, and it is very difficult for them to have any cushion of any kind that helps them through any kind of emergency. And so these are the kind of people that are very hungry for the gospel. These are the kind of people the Lord loves. He said when we give to the poor that we're actually giving to the Lord. If you have compassion on the poor, that you're actually giving to the Lord. And so we keep these people in mind, and that is the reason I go to Africa to preach the Crusades, is to give the good news of the gospel, because for many of these people, this is the only hope they have in life, the only, you might say, luxury, or the only blessing that they have in life, because their material life, their natural life, is very poor, very depressing, and very distressing. And so here we have this poor man, and he's lying at the gate of this very rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Well, when they both died, one was the rich man, and he ended up in torment, and the poor man, Lazarus, the beggar, he ended up in Abraham's bosom. And being in torment in Hades, the rich man lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Well, most people think that this part of Sheol or this part of hell or Hades was called Abraham's bosom, and I'm in agreement with that attitude. I'm in agreement with that interpretation of this scripture, that the Old Testament saints were not able to ascend into heaven like we do in the New Testament, because we are under the New Covenant, and the blood of Jesus has been shed on the cross. The sacrifice and the payment for our sin has been made for us. And so when we die, we go straight to heaven, and our soul and our spirit depart from the body, and we go straight to heaven to reside in heaven with Jesus. Jesus made a reference to this in John chapter 14 when he was talking to the disciples and preparing them for the time when he would go to the cross and he would be departing from this earth. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and you know the way," or the way you know. And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him." So Jesus told the disciples that he was going to prepare a mansion for them. He was going to prepare a place for them. And he said, there are going to be many mansions there in this place. If it were not so, I would have told you. And he says, "I go to prepare a place for you." Well, he went, and he went to the cross first. He died. He was resurrected 3 days later. And then he went to prepare that place. He went to heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, and he sat down there, and he began to prepare a place for the saints and all of those who would come after him, who were born again and those who believed in God and believed in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so we go back to the story of Lazarus and the rich man. And so the holding place for the Old Testament saints, because the blood had not been shed at this point to cover their sin, they had not been redeemed as yet by the blood of Jesus. And so the holding place for them was this place called Abraham's bosom, or it was a compartment in Sheol or in Hades that was the holding place for the Old Testament saints who believed in God, who believed in salvation. And that place then was redeemed, or those people were redeemed by the blood of Jesus when he went to the cross. And we'll talk about that here in just a minute, how he went and he spoke to them when they were in that place in Sheol waiting for redemption. So verse 24, the rich man who is in torment, he is crying out, and he cries out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Well, beloved, many people are teaching and preaching today, even pastors in many pulpits across the land, that there is no place called hell, there is no eternal torment, there is no eternal condemnation, that God wants to save everybody, and so therefore God saves everybody, that a loving, grace-filled, compassionate God would never send people to hell. And I beg to differ with that. If you believe in the gospel and you believe in the concept of heaven and you believe in the concept of salvation for all eternity, and those who believe in Jesus can join him in heaven for all eternity, then you also have to believe in the concept of hell, because Jesus teaches about it, he talks about it, and he makes it very clear and very plain to all who have an ability to understand and want to understand, that hell is a real place, that the eternal torment is a real condition. And beloved, if you don't believe that, I feel sorry for you. You need to be aware of that fact, that if you do not believe that hell is a real place, there is a very likely possibility that that is where you're headed, because you just are operating in ignorance, and you can't just cherry pick parts of the gospel that you like and cherry pick the parts of salvation that you like. Beloved, there's nowhere in the scripture that talks about universal salvation, that everybody is saved. In fact, just the opposite. What is talked about is that we are all sinners, we all need a Savior, and all have sinned and fallen short of that glory. And so we know, if we take the full counsel of the scripture into consideration, we know there is a place of torment, we know there is a place of hell, and we know there is a place that is the place for eternal separation from God. Those who reject Him, those who reject the grace of God, the love of God, and say that they don't need it, they have no desire to access God's love, they have no desire or need for God. And so this place, beloved, is for those who want to be separated and choose to be separated, and by their own will and choice separate themselves and cut themselves off from the holy God, their Creator. Well, in Mark 9, verse 43, Jesus is teaching the disciples, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Verse 44, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Well, Jesus goes on to teach about if your eye causes you to sin, pluck your eyes out. I read just recently about a young lady who did just that. She was tripping out on meth or some other kind of drug, and the demons were talking to her, and she actually pulled her eyes out, plucked her eyes out of her head. And I don't think God wants us to do that, although she's probably better off that way blind than she was when she was tripped out on meth and had her natural sight in full capacity. But the point is this, is that the worm never dies and the fire is not quenched in hell. It is a real place. And the description here that Jesus is giving of the rich man in hell, where he's crying out in torment, beloved, that is what is going to happen in hell. I hope you don't experience it. I hope you never have to go there and see it for yourself or experience it for yourself. Take the offer. Take the blessings of Jesus, take the grace and the mercy of Jesus, take the blood of Jesus upon yourself and receive the salvation, receive everything that Jesus has for you. Become born again and accept the fact that God loves you and that He sent His very own Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you. And so we don't have to cut our hand off. We don't have to pluck our eyes out. It is much better just to say, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I want you to come into my heart and set me free of my sin. Set me free of my sin so I don't have to cut off all my body parts and pull out my eyes or cut off my ears. I can come to you and know that I am redeemed by your blood and set free and forgiven by your precious blood. Well, to go on with the story of Abraham and Lazarus, so he's crying out to Lazarus, and he's crying out to Abraham, and he says, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Well, beloved, there is only one shot in life, and there is only one chance for salvation in life. Hebrews 9:27 says that we are appointed once to die, and then comes the judgment. Unfortunately, there is no opportunity, there is no plan B for your parents, your loved ones, your cousins, your aunts, uncles, your pastor to pray you up out of purgatory or to pray you up out of hell. Once you die, once you pass from this earth, then your soul or your spirit goes to either one place or the other. You either go to heaven to be with Jesus, or you go to hell where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. Again, Hebrews 9:27. You are appointed once to die. We all are going to die. You're going to die. I'm going to die. Every single person who lives on the face of the earth, no matter what race, religion, ethnic culture, or whatever they are, we are all going to die. And as we pass from life to death, then comes the judgment. And we are then judged, and we are standing, if we believe in Jesus, we are standing before Him at the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. But if we do not believe in Him, if we have rejected His offer of salvation and His blood, then we will stand before Jesus at the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And the great white throne judgment is for those who have not had the condemnation of their sin removed from them, and so they are condemned to spend eternity in hell. And so this great gulf is fixed, and it cannot be transgressed after we die. There is no transition, there is no transgression, there is no shifting between the land of the living and the land of the dead and the torment. Well, back to verse 25, Abraham said, "Son, you remember in your lifetime you received good things, but now Lazarus in his lifetime received evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented." Well, Matthew 20, verse 16, Jesus says, "The last will be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen." Well, beloved, this life goes quickly. We are just passing through. This is not our home. We're just passing through this place. And so many who are last in this earthly life, there are many, many poor people out there, millions and tens of millions, hundreds of millions, just in Africa alone, the Kibera slum where I preached in 2011, there's 300,000 to 400,000 slum dwellers just in that one slum in Nairobi. And so there are many, many poor. But beloved, this is not our home. And many who are last on this earth, and many who are poor and in wretched conditions here on this earth, they will be first in the kingdom of God. Some of the unsung heroes of the faith are those that you've never heard about, and they are the ones who are praying, they're the ones who are fasting, they're the ones who maybe are reading the scripture every day and live a pious and a holy and a righteous life. And so God sees that, He knows that. And so for those who may be last here on this earth, they're going to be first in the kingdom of heaven. And those Hollywood stars, not necessarily all of them, but a lot of them, and those who are rich and famous and live the luxurious lifestyle with yachts and many houses, multi-million dollar houses, and all of the luxuries of this earth, many of them who are first now, they're going to be last in the kingdom, and they are going to suffer and experience the torment because they have rejected Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Well, in verse 27, we're going to wrap this up here. It says, "Then he said, I beg you therefore," then the rich man said, "I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." And Abraham said to him, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And of course, he was speaking about Moses as the prophet of God and the other prophets, those who were speaking the oracles of God. And Abraham said, they can listen to Moses, they can listen to the prophets, they can go to the synagogue and hear what God has to say to them. We can't send Lazarus to them. He's here and he's not going to leave. And in verse 30, "And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent." But Abraham said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Well, that is a prophetic statement speaking about Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he's speaking to you today. He's speaking to people today through this radio broadcast. He's speaking to people today through television broadcasts and through radio broadcasts all across America, all across the world, actually, all across the internet. There is a dead man speaking to people today. The question for you is, do you believe that this dead man, this resurrected man, Jesus Christ, is speaking to you about your salvation? Well, beloved, he is. I suggest you pay attention. I suggest, if you have ears to hear, that you receive the revelation of Jesus Christ in your life, that he died for you, that he shed his precious blood for you. And so this is what Abraham is saying to this rich man. If they're not going to listen to Moses and the prophets who are speaking for God and speaking for Jesus, then neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Well, beloved, Gather the Outcast is a radio broadcast, and it's being brought to you by someone, or it's being facilitated by someone that God raised from the dead. Yes, that was me. I was dead in my transgressions. I was dead in my trespasses. That the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Yes, I was dead, walking in my sins, walking in my transgressions against Jesus, who I knew was my Lord and Savior, and I was in a state of death, walking around. If you looked at me, you probably wouldn't have known I was dead, but I certainly was. And so that is God's will, that all the dead people who are resurrected by the Word of God, by the blood and the power of Jesus Christ, that they speak their testimony, that they give their testimony, so that these people, like the rich man, can come to know the Lord Jesus before they pass from this earth. Well, how did Jesus release these Old Testament saints? This question comes up many times. How did Jesus release the Old Testament saints? Well, it tells us right here in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Paul is speaking to the church at Ephesus, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore Jesus said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. Actually, this is an Old Testament scripture from Psalm 68. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? Beloved, Jesus went to the lower parts of the earth. He had a mission. He was going to release those Old Testament saints who were in Sheol, in Abraham's bosom. He was going to release them and take them with him to heaven. Now that his blood had been shed and covered their sins, he could take them and release them from the captivity that they were in. Verse 9, now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. And so Jesus went and he opened up the gates of hell. He took the keys of hell away from the devil and he released those Old Testament saints. He did some preaching down there when he was there. We find that out in passages of scripture in Jude and in Peter. He preached to the fallen angels that were in hell, and he released those Old Testament saints. He said, come on, we're going to heaven. And he released the gifts that the church is built around, those structural office gifts that the church is built around, the office gift of apostle, of prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And so Jesus initiated the New Covenant Church, the New Testament Church, at the same time when he took those captives and he led them out of hell, up to heaven, and they sat down at the right hand of God. They received their reward, they received their redemption, and they were then with God in heaven for all eternity. Well, beloved, I hope that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I hope that you have listened to this lesson and know that hell is a real place. Heaven is also a real place. That is the place where God wants you to be. I pray that you make a decision today to accept Jesus. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, just say yes to him. Repent of your sin. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin. He will be faithful and true to do that. And you too can reside with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven for all eternity. We're going to have contact information here coming up at the end of this broadcast. We'd love to hear from you. If you made a decision today, let us know so that we can pray with you and get you some materials to help you in your Christian walk. And we'd like to hear from you. If you would be so kind, sit down, write out a check, help support this ministry, help these messages to keep coming to you across these radio airwaves and also for the projects in Africa. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.